While Terry Schiavo may be at rest, many Americans continue to wrestle with the life and death questions raised by the struggle, both personal and legal, that surrounded her death this week. The world has also watched the final chapter of Pope John Paul II's time on Earth, a time in which he sought to make death an important and inescapable dimension of life. Stephen Post is a professor of bioethics at the Medical School of Case Western Reserve University, and he joins us from the studios of member station WCPN in Cleveland. Professor Post, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be in touch.
Does the furor over Terry Schiavo's case say anything to you about this country, how various groups in this country view death and medical procedures and all of these issues that have been brought up?
I do. I think it tells us how poorly we communicate in this country. There are so many wonderfully thoughtful people who have devoted their lives to hospice care, for example. Hospice provides people at the end of life with a comfortable dying in a way that does not insist on a tube in every orifice, doesn't hold people hostage to medical technologies. And nobody really has a deeper understanding of why hospice had to arise in American medicine and how dignified it is. No one understands the law. It was striking to me how unawares people were of the decisions, even by the U.S. Supreme Court, that a feeding peg, artificial nutrition and hydration, is a medical technology that we can refuse, that we can withdraw, and that we have rights to make these kinds of decisions.
The Schiavo case obviously also tested the bonds and obligations between husband and wife and parent and child. How do you reconcile these claims?
In Judeo-Christian Western culture, as it has emerged over 2,000 years, priority has been given to the husband-wife pair. Now, that makes a contrast with Asian cultures, which put the premium on the authority of the parent. There is something in those cultures called filial piety, not just a respect for the parent, but darn near worship of the parent. Mm-hmm. But in every state in the U.S., we give priority, first of all, when a person is no longer competent, to the spouse, because we think that that is the most essential relationship. Then you get a deference, if there is no spouse available, to an adult child. In the absence of an adult child, you go to the parent. And in the absence of parents, you go to siblings. In the absence of siblings, you go to an appointed guardian.
I want to ask you about suffering, Professor, because the Vatican issued statements where they said that Pope John Paul was suffering and that he was accepting that suffering. I'm wondering if you draw any lessons from the Pope's invitation and his belief, really, that that kind of suffering embodies a sense of identity with those who confront loss.
Indeed, I do. And I feel as though one of the problems in the modern world is that we don't take the reality of suffering seriously. We deny death. We run from suffering. But, of course, in the end, we all understand that suffering is something that is inescapable. And that actually, in all religious traditions, is viewed as an opportunity to free ourselves of the kind of illusions of control, the illusions that life doesn't include suffering, and accept the fact that they are bearable because there is something in the universe, a higher presence than ourselves, that in fact is loving, and that ultimately even our suffering has a purpose.
Can people who are more secular in their viewpoint also absorb a lesson from suffering?
Oh, absolutely. Suffering is something that disciplines us in a way. It forces us to look more intensely at life and its meaning. But it's also, in a sense, good for the people around me because they need to recognize that the ultimate value and meaning in their lives comes from their compassionate response to my struggles.
Stephen Post, professor of bioethics at Case Western Reserve Medical School, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.